Today's mailbag comes to us from Stephanie. I just have to share. Husbands can be your best cheerleader. My husband came home yesterday and told me about one of his customers who talked to him about struggling with his business and getting things done. So, my husband told him, you need to consult with my wife. She can get you organized and get your business running more smoothly. The customer says, I will never be able to be organized. Which my husband says, organization is a learnable skill, and my wife can teach you. And to think, I didn't think he was listening to me.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. This week, we're going to be talking about the executive function of planning, and you should know, you should be warned. I love planning more than organizing. I know. And you know how much I love organizing. So you've been warned. This is literally my favoritest thing to do is planning. Remember, I am a former school teacher, stay-at-home mom, business owner that has a podcast, no psychology degree. I'm not a doctor. And I'm going to talk to you about executive function, what I've learned as a parent, what I've learned for myself, what I've learned as a professional organizer in people's homes, what I observed about the executive function of our brain. So ADHD and executive function are related. Like a deficit in executive function does not mean you have ADHD. If you have ADHD, doesn't mean you have executive function deficits, but they are very, very related. And there are 9 executive functions. And we're just going through the 5 that are organizationally related. Like, kind of blows my mind, honestly. I keep saying the same thing, I know, but it's true. How much of how we process and live in the world is related to organization. Organization of materials, organization of thoughts, which is what planning is, like your working memory, how you organize all the random bits of information that are coming your way. Like, organization is so essential to like humanity and life. And so these podcasts are really my understanding of it as a lay person, as someone who's just like, I don't know, a researcher, verbal processor, before I start studying my PhD and really figuring out what there is to this and what kind of research we can do going forward. And today, when I talk about planning, almost always when you listen to a podcast, read a book, and you're talking about planning, it is usually focused on goal attainment. So goal attainment, especially in work, or achieving a promotion, a pay increase, planning for a business, a career, or it could be sports related. So trying to achieve some kind of a wellness goal or a fitness goal or a trophy or an award or a ribbon or a medal or something like that. Planning, household planning, I mean, there are printables about it. Let me just tell you, I have black belt level planning at the household level, and I'm going to kind of break down how I've done it over the last 25 years and how I'm currently teaching planning. So, I mean, I geek out about planners. We don't sell one anymore. Like, I've given it up. I'm not a planning company. I teach you how to plan, but we don't sell a planner. So a planner, what people sell as planners are really date books, like writing down information, you carry around a date book and you could see your Google Calendar in physical form. That is a planner. I struggled for a long time to make a planner that really did the planning that I wanted to do. And finally, last fall, I was like, you know what? I'm over this charade, this pretend. We don't have planners. Organized 365 does not have planners, but we are the queen of how you learn how to plan. So we have planning workbooks that are part of Planning Day. And you cannot do Planning Day and the planning workbook unless you're part of the Productive Home Solution. It's like, it is a part of the Productive Home Solution. And I know that since it's a part of the Productive Home Solution, not everyone who wants to do planning will do planning with me. That's fine. I'm totally fine with that. But this is just part of that course that I'm teaching, the Productive Home Solution, how to get organized. Planning is huge. So when Greg and I first got married, I think it was our first Christmas, woke up in the morning, you know, you have no money because we're in this house and we have no furniture in the house because we have the house, but can't afford furniture. That's hilarious. Your 20s are the funniest thing you'll ever live through. All of the good stories that you'll tell when you're older are from your 20s. So we have no money. I think we spent like $100 on each other, which was a lot. I mean, it was a lot of money. I cannot remember what I bought Greg, but I know exactly what he bought me. So he bought me a Franklin Covey planner. And he bought me the navy blue leather binder and the planner inserts that I want. And let me just tell you, I had spent 4 months picking out exactly what I wanted from the Franklin Covey store because I had never gotten a Franklin Covey planner before. And that is like the Rolex of planners. Like there is a Franklin Covey planner store in our mall. It's like crack for me. Like I walk through there, I'm like, oh, rulers, inserts, tabs. I love it. So he bought me exactly what I wanted. I opened it on Christmas morning. Again, I don't remember what I bought him. Then he made a fire in our fireplace and, you know, football was probably on. I don't know. And I sat right in front of that fire because that's my favorite place to sit with my planner. And I opened everything up and I put it all together. And I mean, for hours. And he's looking at me. He's like, are you going to do this all day? I'm like, yes. I was so excited. In hindsight, maybe should have spent more time with my husband on Christmas morning instead of playing with my planner. But oh my goodness, you know what I'm talking about. I love planners. And also, like, I love that there are teachers in the world, even though I am one, because there are teachers in the world, the school year has a different start date, which is September. And I love the newness of a planner. So I will get a new planner in December for the new year. And I will also get a new planner in August so I can fill out everything. And then also when summer comes, like I'll just create my own planner for the summer because I like to plan 3 times a year. I've always been like this, even when I was a child. Like I would have these different planners. And at these different seasons, in December, in May, and in August, I would go buy a new planner. And I would rewrite all of the information that was in the old planner in the new planner. I have created these 3 seasons inside of Organize 365 around these 3 energies that I identified when I was in high school. And they are so ingrained in the American culture. You just don't see it. You don't see it because no one's ever pointed it out that we actually do completely change our wardrobes, our food, the activities we do 3 times a year. And it is January 1 and Memorial Day and after Labor Day. And we just have these 3 seasons that we as adults go through. They are, you know, the winter months, the summer months, and the fall months. And this is just what we do. We just do it. You don't realize it. It's totally unconscious. I have always had these little planning sessions for myself, even when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. In August, I would get a new planner and I would look at my schedule and I would look at my classes and I would organize my notebook the way that I did for Joey when I told you about organizing materials in the last podcast. And I would organize all my classes and read all my syllabuses and put them in my binder and create my planner. And then over winter break, I would get a fresh planner. I would always spend my Christmas money going to Office Max and getting another planner. And I would redo my whole entire school binder for going into the January to May school year. It really messed me up when you would have like 3 more weeks of classes and your finals after the winter break. Like that's really hard on students and teachers, by the way. If we could just align that better, that would be great. So I would do that. And then when I would get to spring break, I would buy a planner or I would draw a planner of what my summer would be like. And then when we got to May or June, whenever school was out, then I would create my summer. And in the summer, even like a school teacher, I would completely redo my closet and redo my bedroom in the summer and over winter break. Like, this is just my cadence as a kid. Then I got married, then we had kids, and I found I was just doing this all of the time. And for kids, like for parents, it makes complete sense to look at your calendar in August. I would put all of the school dates that I knew, the whole entire school calendar, I would put on my paper planner at the time. Now it's a Google Calendar. I would put all those school dates on there, and I would run that planner all the way till winter break. Then the kids were off on winter break. Then I would reorient for their classes and their specials and their after school activities and whatever I was participating in. And I'd make a plan all the way until Memorial Day. And then around spring break, I would make a list of the 10 weeks that the kids were off school over the summer, and I would put it on one sheet of paper. I would draw it with a ruler. I would literally make all 10 weeks fit on one piece of paper, and then I would number them all, and then I would figure out what we could afford to do for the kids. Like, could we send them to camp 1 week? Could we, you know, I would look up all the free vacation Bible schools. My kids went to 4 different vacation Bible schools every summer. You know you do it too. It's great. Vacation Bible schools are great. I'm Christian, so it's also great for that, but also free camp. Kids are ridiculously expensive. Vacation Bible schools, then you'd have that like Tuesday free movie thing, so I'd mark all those down. What days were the, like all the free things I would mark down on the calendar, and then I would start shopping garage sales from spring break to the end of the year to buy fun things to bring out on the weeks that we didn't have as much planned. And so I was planning. Already, you may be saying, wow, that's a lot of planning. Oh, just the tip of the iceberg. Now, I've spent time analyzing my planning, and my planning is planning on steroids. So if you're like, well, if I can't get planning day, because it's part of the productive home solution, like, how could I test out what Lisa means by planning? I got you covered. We have 5 free blitzes each year. We're adding one this year. So we have the Holiday Blitz, which just ended if you're listening to this real time. We have the Out with the Old Blitz, which is the last week of the year. We have Spring Break Blitz, which is always the week of March 21st, because that's the first day of spring. We have the Memorial Day Blitz, which I'm not sure what we're going to call that, but that will kick off summer. And then we have the Back to School Blitz, which happens the second week in July. And it doesn't matter if you have kids or not. The energy of fall is coming. So we need to get ready for the back to school season and our fall productivity. Each of those blitzes, which are completely free, each of those blitzes are 5 days long. The Out with the Old is 6 days long. And each one, I help you plan for the season that is coming next and organize it for you. So in the Holiday Blitz, we make the invisible work of the holidays visible, help you look at it, organize it, so that you can go through the holidays with as little stress and the most planning possible. The Out with the Old Blitz, I send every person who has a heartbeat in your house that walks on 2 legs to their bedroom for the week, and we all learn how to organize our own stuff and come together as a family to organize our bedrooms and the communal spaces together, to declutter as much as possible so that when you're ready to start organizing in January, at least the decluttering part is already done. In the Spring Break Blitz, I teach you how to plan to organize one project all the way to completion instead of the Swiss cheese way we've been doing it, where you do a little here, a little here, a little here. Oh, that looks good, so I'll do a little here, a little here, a little here. No. In the Spring Break Blitz, you pick one area. It does not matter what area you pick. And then you go back to that same space over and over and over and over and over again until it is completely organized. I teach you how to do that. And then in the Back to School Blitz, I teach you how to make the invisible work of what's going to happen in the fall visible so that you can get all of the doctor's appointments and the forms done and the back to school supplies and new office supplies at home and new shoes and new underwear and all the things that we tend to forget. We do all of that in the Back to School Blitz in the summer. So these blitzes are full little tiny microcosms of what we do inside of the Productive Home Solution for your entire house, or what we do inside of the Friday Workbox for your work. They are everything from the what is the thing we want to organize, planning how we're going to organize it, learning the skill of organizing it, executing the organization, and then doing that on a repetitive basis. You only have to plan the holidays one time a year, but you need to do it every year. And every year it gets easier. And we do that the second week in November. So everything has a certain cadence to it. That's what planning is. Planning is purposefully setting aside time to think about what is coming next and deciding, making rules, remember making rules about what you want that to look like, and then doing as much proactively as possible versus how you handle things before you plan. Before you plan the holiday blitz and you see all the invisible work that needs to be done, this is how we handle the holidays. This is how I've handled the holidays in the past. You get to Halloween and you're like, oh, I can't remember how many trick-or-treaters we had last year. Let's just buy 5 bags of candy. You buy 5 bags of candy and then, oh yeah, that's right. We only have four trick-or-treaters, not 4 groups, 4. So now you've got 4¾ bags of candy left for you to eat for the next month. Oh yeah, that's right. When am I going to remember that nobody comes and trick-or-treats by our house? Like I don't know. I should just give out dollar bills. They probably would be thrilled with that. And then I just have cash and I don't have more weight. But we tend to forget. Like, we tend to forget. And then we also tend to get nervous. Like, well, okay, I didn't have any trick-or-treaters last year. But what if we have like 35 this year and then I don't have any? So just give 40 singles. They'd probably be thrilled with the money. I'm going to see if I could float that by Greg, but I don't think so. So then you have Thanksgiving. And here's what we think about with Thanksgiving. We think about the day of Thanksgiving, that we're going to eat a turkey. We need to have a turkey. That's all we think about. We forget about the sides. I always forget that there needs to be a place setting. My mother-in-law, luckily, always brings it for me. She always brings little things to put by each person's place setting. I'm not a hospitality person. I just forget that kind of stuff. So I am the person, the weekend before Thanksgiving, who's like, oh, we're going to eat potatoes, a turkey, a pie, whatever. Most people have ordered that like weeks before. Not me. Food's not my thing. So I tend to forget. And then here's the other thing. So you remember about the food and you remember about the place settings. Well, you know, in addition to the gigantic meal you need to make, you're supposed to have like appetizers for days ahead of time. I always forget about the appetizers. All right. So we need to have appetizers. Oh, Thanksgiving is not one day. Thanksgiving is the Wednesday before and the Friday after and the Saturday and Sunday. And like the family wants to be entertained for like this whole 5-day thing. Like it's not just a little 2-hour meal. It's a whole big promotion. What are you going to wear? Are they going to be photos? Are there going to be people in from out of town? Are they going to stay with you? Are they going to see your house? Like, do you have to travel? Who's going to get that? It's so many decisions. Even thinking about it now, even though I've done the holiday blitz for myself, it's overwhelming. As soon as that's done, boom. We're right into the December holidays, which for me is Christmas. Now, I love putting the tree up. And this year, I'm putting the tree up on the Wednesday before. I know you're listening to this after. I'm recording this before. It's one of those weird things about recording podcasts before things actually happen. But I am putting up the Christmas tree on the Wednesday before because I love it when I do it that way. Even though Thanksgiving is going to be at my house. Because when I wait till the day after, I don't know. There's like some kind of time warp happens. And when we're to the Friday after Thanksgiving, everything speeds up and is on double speed. But the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, it's not. So I'm putting the tree up on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving because that's what's going to work best in my schedule. Similarly, with the same Christmas tree, I have a fake Christmas tree because I'm allergic to a real Christmas tree. If I do not take the Christmas tree down, the first weekend in January, the Christmas tree does not come down until late February or March. I don't understand this math or this time warp thing that happens either, but it has happened for over a decade now. What happens is everybody's home for the holidays. I work outside of the house now full time, which is not what I used to do. So this didn't used to be a problem until I worked for Organized 365. But in the last 5 years, this has been a problem. Everyone is home over winter break. Everyone enjoys all of the decorations, especially Greg. And then we get through January 1st. We get through that first week in January. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the tree down the second week in January. And Greg's like, no, leave it up. I like the lights. It's so bright. You know, it's so dark and dreary. And it gets even colder in Ohio in January and February. We get most of our snow. And he's like, don't take away the Christmas tree. It's all the lights. Some years I'll be like, okay, so I'll pack all the ornaments away and leave the lights up so it's a little bit more light. And I might do that this year. But what happens is everyone goes back to the life they had before the holidays after the first weekend in January, including you. But then this tree is still up. And then sometime in mid-January or February, when you're back in the thick of working again, you're supposed to find time to take this tree down. But you don't have this time to take this tree down. So then your tree is up until March, and our outdoor wreath is up until May. And this happens like every other year. And it is what it is. It's fine. But by the time you're looking at a tree at the end of January, at the beginning of February, you're like, I gotta take that tree down. I gotta take that tree down. I gotta take that tree down. And so I'm making some rules for myself. And the rule is, the tree is going up the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, because that's when I want to put it up, and that's fun, it's festive. And then as soon as Thanksgiving's over and I've done all of the dishes and I come downstairs on Friday morning, I get to enjoy Christmas because it's already ready. And I'm the one that Christmas comes from, so I'm doing it when it works in my schedule. Also, the second weekend in January, the tree is going back in the basement because I am where Christmas comes from. And if I don't do it, no one else is going to do it. And that's what works inside of my schedule. I'll wait until Sunday afternoon and I'll take it down Sunday afternoon when Greg is preoccupied by the sports. Hopefully the Bengals will be playing and winning. And then I'll just be able to move it into the basement and we won't really notice. And then all of a sudden there won't be a tree there on Monday morning. This is what planning does. If you know, even as I say that, I feel a little bit guilty, like, oh, but the family would like the tree up on Friday after Thanksgiving, and the family would like the tree to stay up a couple more weeks in January. But you know what the family is not doing? Putting up or taking down the tree. I'm the one doing that work. And so there needs to be this balance. That's what planning is. Planning isn't perfection. Planning isn't, I'm going to make this plan and we're going to be able to follow it for the end of time. No, planning actually is the thing, that's the work that never goes away. That's the work that actually gets more intricate and harder as you do more of what you're uniquely created to do. Because once you get organized, like organizing when you're not organized, organizing your materials from the last podcast sounds like, oh my gosh, this is going to take forever. I'm never going to get done. And it will. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I never lie about this. It's probably why I could probably be more successful if I lied more. But it is going to take a minimum of a year, and for most people, 3 years, to fully feel like you are organized. To be able to say, yep, I am personally organized, storage organized, paper organized, family and communal space. Like, bring it. I am organized. That is going to take 12 months to 3 years. And just observation again, everything I see takes 18 months to 3 years. 18 months to 3 years. 18 months of thinking about it, 18 months of doing it. 3 years later, check that thing off your list. Sometimes it's 3 years thinking about it, 3 years doing it, check it off your list. Weight, getting out of debt, organizing, all these take like 18 months to 3 years, 18 months to 3 years. And half of the time is just thinking about it, doing passive organizing, and then 18 months of active organizing. And depending on, how disorganized your life has come, how many unexpected events have stacked themselves on top of you and tried to push you down into the ground, it's going to take you like 3 years to get organized. Like, just embrace it. It's the thing. It's the season. This is the getting organized season. But once you do it, it's done. Once you learn the skill of organizing, no one can ever take it away from you. Once you learned how to walk, unless you have a traumatic event and you need to relearn how to walk again, which is extremely rare, you don't think about it. You just walk for the rest of your life. Same thing with organizing. So who cares if it takes 18 months to 3 years? That's why I keep telling myself about my PhD. Who cares that this is going to take 4 years? Once I have a PhD, I have it for the rest of my life. And I plan to be 100. So that's like 45 years of a PhD that I'll have versus the 4 years that it's going to take to get one. Like, yes, great trade-off. Same with organizing. 18 months to 3 years to learn the skill that you'll have for the rest of your life. Amazing. Do it. You should do it. It's going to be great. And then you're going to become a planner, because organization is great. Like, it's great that everything has a home and you know where it is, you know where to put things away. But it's like not empty, but it's just your physical stuff. Like, it's just telling your physical stuff where to go, making sure you have the right physical stuff, making sure you can find your physical stuff when you want your physical stuff. Like, organization is very tactical of our physical stuff. Planning is bringing into reality a future vision that you can see. I know. I just lost you, didn't I? Let's just go back to the holidays. Because I've made this rule, the Christmas tree goes up on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and it comes down the second weekend in January. I then can go about my merry life. No one in my family, they might ask me when the tree's going to go up. I'm going to say on Wednesday. They're like, oh, before Thanksgiving. And I'm going to say, yes. And I'm going to move on with my life. Like, because the other thing is, or I could just say, oh, I don't know, around Thanksgiving, and then put it up on Wednesday. And as soon as the tree is up, Greg loves it. He's like, oh, I love that the tree is up, even though we're eating Thanksgiving with the tree next to us. It's not a problem. You guys, Thanksgiving and Christmas know that they share holidays. Like, they know that they're at the same time of the year. So it's okay. The turkey is okay with it. It is what works best in my life. Just like I only do dishes 3 times a week. I do it Sunday morning. I do it Sunday in the afternoon. I usually do it like Wednesday or Thursday. That's when I do dishes because that's when it works in my schedule because nobody else in my family does dishes. Also, I only dirty the coffee cups. I don't even know where all these other dishes come from. Nobody else is doing them. I literally plan to only do dishes 3 times a week. You may say that is so odd. Yes, I am so odd. But also, making these rules allow me to free myself from the worry and obligation of having every single dish that is dirtied by anyone else who lives in our family who doesn't wash their own dishes done and in the dishwasher all the time so that I feel like I am a good wife, mother, and housekeeper and that my family doesn't have to look at dirty dishes. No. I'm a business owner that drinks coffee, that washes her coffee cups and everybody else's dishes 3 times a week, and no one else is doing it, so they're not worried about it. Why should I be worried about it? We put so many of our internal thoughts on what our house looks like and what the external looks like versus how it makes us feel and how we actually best function and are able to use our time. And that's what planning does. Planning is a time for you to be selfish, completely selfish. I love my planning days. It's a time for you to dream about what is possible, about what you want to change, about what you don't want to change, about how you are going to deal with and process the things that are changing around you that you don't want to change. Like it is just a thinking time for you to purposely decide how you want to show up in the next season. And for me, I do this 3 times a year at home. I do it the last week in August, the very end of December, beginning of January, depending on where that Saturday falls, and right around Mother's Day for the summer. And I invite you to join me in Planning Day for those of you that are in the Productive Home Solution. And I kind of walk you through how I do this. Like, how do I do this 3 times a year? So let me walk you through some of the things that we do in Planning Day. First of all, before you come to Planning Day, you go through your Sunday basket and you make sure you have all your ideas out so that your brain is ready to think about what is possible and what rules you want to make for yourself in the next season. Remember, in our organization of materials, that was rule number 5, which was organization of materials is all about creating personal rules for a season and following those rules. That's what planning is for too. Planning is the same exact thing. Creating a certain number, thinking about the next season and creating rules for how you're going to show up in these live areas that we know are going to happen. So on Planning Day, we talk about where are you right now? Like that is the first thing. When you are planning something, you could pretend that you're a robot and this thing has to get done. And what is the most effective way to doing this? What is a SMART goal? SMART, actionable, measurable. We don't do any of that stuff. None of that. This isn't a business course. This is about your household and you as a human and running your life. And when you don't do planning days, you wake up and you're 10 years older. When you three times a year, give yourself the gift of half a day or a whole day of thinking about what you just accomplished in the last 4 months, 120 days, and what you want to do in the next 120 days, you start to realize that you can't get much accomplished in 120 days, but when you could get 1 to 3 things accomplished every 120 days, that's 3 to 9 things per year, and over the course of a decade, you know, that is 30 to 90 things. And then you start to say, oh, it's the compounding interest of your own time and your own goals and your own plans that make you the future person you want to be 5, 10, 15 years from now. But when you don't plan and take this half a day or a full day, 3 times a year to think about how you are growing as a person, how you are living in this house, how you are interacting with these people that you've been blessed to be a part of, then it's just like, oh my gosh, what just happened in the last 10 years? Where did that all go? It's the difference between where did that all go to, wow, can you believe how far we've come? And that's what I love. I want to be proactive. I want to be like, wow, can you believe how far we've come? And so the first thing I talk about in planning day is I talk about golden windows. And this is a concept I came up with a long, long time ago on the podcast about these super awesome times in your life. It's kind of like when you're in a video game like Mario and you eat the mushroom and you get bigger, you know, or you get the 10X on something and you're like, oh, I could do so much more. I can go so much faster. And there are certain seasons in your life where you could just like really up level and really supercharge. And those are golden windows. Like the time when your youngest child goes to full-time school. That's definitely a golden window. Turning 40, golden window. Moving to a new area, golden window. Getting a new job. There are a lot of these golden windows. And the natural golden windows are Memorial Day, Labor Day, and New Year's Day. Those are natural golden windows. Every single human, for even a second, goes, oh, I could get organized. And they're like, oh, forget it. No, I'm not going to do it. But everybody, like sometime between Christmas and New Year's Day, will be like, ah, I think I'm going to get organized. Now, they might not, but they have the thought. We also have the same thought, I'm going to get out of debt. And we also have the same thought, I'm going to lose like 100 pounds. So we all have these thoughts. And we're like, is this the year for those? And often we're like, no. But when you grab onto that thought, you can push yourself further faster because of this golden window. The second thing we talk about is, what is your primary role? Especially as women, we have so many roles that we identify with. Like I am a sister, a daughter, a wife, a mother, a housekeeper, a homeowner, a business owner, a CEO, a podcaster. Like there's so many primary roles that we have. And I found myself for a period of time, like a long time, trying to do all of those to excellence. Like, how do I be the best wife and the best mom and the best homeowner? Like just those three. It's really hard. It's really hard. And I was most successful with it when I was a stay-at-home mom. That's when I was most successful with hitting all three of those at the same time. But I also usually needed to bring in some income also. So I was also a tutor, a housekeeper, a direct seller or whatever. And so when you have so many hats that you wear, it is hard to really focus on only one if you're constantly focusing on all of them. So for me, my primary role in the summer is usually parent. And then the other two seasons of the year, my primary role is not parent. Now, let me be clear. My children are always a priority. They always get the medical care they need and the education and the driving and that, you know, like I do. They don't know that my primary role is not parent during the school year. But during the school year, and I'm thinking back to when my kids were younger, during the school year, the teacher and the football coach and, you know, the brownie leader, like they are also filling in for the role of leader, mentor, parent. And my job is to get my kids where they need to be and support them when they're at home. I say my primary role as parent in the summer because in the summer was when I would always teach life skills and I would have a lot of educational things that I was trying to teach as a parent in the summer that I did not do during the school year because it was too much. It's just too much for me. It was too much for them. So it's just too much. So in the summer, if I had like a great thing that I wanted to teach my kids, like about money or laundry or whatever, I would always do that in the summer. And then during the school year, we would all just survive the school year. So then my primary role during the school year for one season might be being a spouse and like planning really cool dates and really focusing on Greg and investing in him in that season. Or it might be the house. And for a couple of years there, it was the house. Like, how do I transition from, you know, being a stay-at-home mom to being a business owner and have my kids transition from elementary school in a private special needs school to high school and homeschooling and college and adulthood? Like, that was a full-time job, just getting the house to function from little kids that were under a parent's direction to independent adults who lived at home with us. And that was a huge transition and definitely a primary role that I had for a certain amount of time. Deciding what your primary role is in the next 120 days doesn't negate the other roles that you play. It just allows you to focus more of your thinking time and your goals on that role. Oh, wow, this podcast is going to be really long if I do this because this is what I do in planning day. I go through all these ideas. So we also talk about what are your top three priorities for this next season? What is your self-care going to look like? How many hours of sleep do you want to get? How many hours do you want to work per week or per month? And then we look at the next 12 months. Are there any big things happening in the next 12 months? And then we dive into these circles. So Laura Vanderkam says, she has a book called 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. And that book really changed my way of thinking about time in general. Like, it really, really changed my thought process. And one of the things she says in that book that I love is that from Monday morning at 8 a.m. until Thursday at 8 p.m., is the same amount of time as Thursday at 8 p.m. through Monday at 8 a.m. So one is 4 days and three nights, and the other one is 4 nights and 3 days. And ever since I heard that years ago, I'm like, okay, if I could get my work week to end by Thursday at 8, then I'd have as much home time as I have work time. I never really was successful with that, but it did help me realize that my best work energy is Monday morning until Thursday afternoon. And then Friday, I schedule like a lot of meetings. That's when we have our social events. That's when we have our Friday workbox time. Like, I have a different cadence to my work on Friday, even though I'm still working. It definitely is a time where I could be a little bit more lax. And then the other thing we talk about in planning day is that Saturday and Sunday are two completely different kinds of time. And this is something that I've developed on my own. Saturday time and Sunday time have different energy, different ways we use them. And so we divide out purposely how we're going to use our time during the work week and how we're going to use it on Saturday and Sunday for the next 120 days. So this allows for changes in like extracurricular activities or exercising routines or workloads, or you could process through all of those things. I will say one of the things I am really processing through right now is how I'm going to find the amount of time that I need for my PhD. So I have been processing through this for the last few months. I am going to be dividing my time into three different chunks of time. So Monday morning, 7 a.m. through Wednesday at 5 p.m. will be organized 365 time. Wednesday at 5 p.m. all the way through Friday at like somewhere between 8, 9, or 10 a.m., that will be all devoted to my PhD. And then Friday afternoon and evening will be whoever needs that time, if it needs to be for work, if it needs to be for PhD, if it needs to be for home. And then Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday will all be devoted to family and home time. Now, I'm also traveling, so I don't even know how well this is going to work, but I have been doing mental gymnastics trying to figure out how I'm going to find 25 hours a week for a PhD, and that's what I figured out because Laura taught me that time is just time, and because I have focused on the last 3 years in figuring out how to get better sleep and how to be more energetic and how to be able to start at 7:30 a.m. and go until 5 p.m. and really not get tired until 5 p.m., I can really work hard. And my classes will be in the evening, Wednesday night, either a class or studying all day Thursday. I'll have plenty of energy for that. Thursday night will probably be a class or studying. And then Friday morning, I'll finish up whatever paper I have to do. I'll probably need to work on the weekend. I might need more time. I don't know. But that's how I'm going to get started. And that's one of the keys, is that you don't have to know exactly how this is going to work out. You don't have to have the perfect plan. You don't have to say, well, technically, Lisa, that's only going to be whatever, 18 or 20 hours. And you said 25. So where are you going to find the other five? I'm like, I don't know. I cannot figure that out until I actually am in it, until I actually realize, when are the papers due? How many papers are there? How well do I read this information? How good is my editing? Like, there are a lot of unknowns, but that doesn't mean that we don't start to have a plan. This is where I think we get hung up. Like, we want to have a perfect plan before we take the first step. That's not a thing. It's never going to happen. You need to say, okay, well, this is going to be roughly 20 hours. Then I'm going to need to reduce my work by at least one day. And I'm going to need to reduce some of how I help with the baby at home by a couple of nights. Okay, so I've got a little bit of time there. I've got a little bit of time here. I know that my energy level is good. And if I tell myself that my Thursdays are going to be 7 a.m. or actually I could start at 6 because I'm going to be at home, 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. I know I can do that. Like, that is something that I could do every week. And so I can train myself that way. That's a 16-hour day. That's 16 hours in one day. You may say, oh my gosh, that is crazy. Maybe, but I've been training myself for this. So I don't think it'll be, I don't think it will be. And 4 hours the night before, there you're at 20 hours. And so then you grab a couple hours Friday morning. I'm not sure the Friday morning is going to work because I like to kind of get up and just kind of, you know, putz around and come in and see inventory. So Friday may actually not be a day I work. I may grab that extra 5 hours like on a Sunday afternoon or something like that. So I'm not sure where it will be. But the Wednesday night all day Thursday thing, I think that's going to work really well. And I also think it's going to work well when I get to the summer season because Greg plays golf on Wednesday night. And in the winter season, there's Thursday night football. So it'll also work well in our marriage. And I take all of those factors into account when I make these plans. What is the best plan with the information that I know now? And then I'll start to execute it. And along the way, as I am executing that plan, I will make pivots and I will make iterations. But the more I can think through, okay, so naturally, Greg is usually has something else to do on a Wednesday or Thursday. That's why I picked Wednesday and Thursday over a Monday and Tuesday. Also, my energy is really high for work on Monday morning. So Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning is when I do Tuesday. I do all my meetings. I do not want to move all of those. Tuesday night, Wednesday morning is when the team has all their meetings. We tend to have some of our team events on Wednesdays until like noon or one. I probably could start my PhD around one or two on Wednesdays. And by then, like the team has everything they need for me from the week until the next week. Like that pretty much sounds like that is going to work. So that is planning. In planning day, we also go through our habits and routines. We talk about tasks of daily living, laundry, meal planning, Sunday basket, errand day. You might be like, Lisa, really? Every 120 days you talk about laundry, meal planning, and Sunday basket and errand day? Like, don't you just get that solved? No. No. Think about it. You eat different foods in February than you do in July, than you do in November, right? So your grocery list kind of changes. The kinds of food you change. Like, we go from grilling to baking, and then in the winter to crock potting. Like, pressure cooking, like different foods, different ways of cooking, different people who do the cooking. What about laundry? Like Abby and I have been working on laundry for the last year because we had a great cadence when it was she and I, but now with the baby, she's got a lot more laundry and I've been traveling. So I do my laundry at other times and we both like to do like a couple loads in a row. So we had to really talk through what laundry situation is going to work best for us. So the laundry is Mom gets the laundry room all day on Saturday and Sunday morning, and then Abby has the rest of the time. Well, if I'm doing my PhD from home on Thursday, I probably am going to want to start doing my laundry on Thursday. So we're going to need to renegotiate laundry day. And that's life. Like, these are great problems to have. Like, who's doing laundry when for the ultimate efficiency versus, I don't have any clothes to wear. This is an emergency. We don't have enough. Great problems to have. As you get more organized and as you do more planning, you have more capacity to take on more. So you do more. Yeah, the joke was always, if you want to get something done, find a busy person to do it. Exactly. because they've learned how to externalize their working memory. And then they learned how to organize all of their materials. And then they learned how to plan all of their work and the work that is coming in the future. And for some reason, they're also able to take on your work because they have all of these systems in place. This is how busy people get stuff done. This is how managers become managers or move into the C-suite, because they have somehow learned all of these systems. They have found places to listen to their brain and table it until a certain amount of time. They have figured out how to organize their materials at home, at work, and in their personal life. And then they plan. They may not consciously do it like I do, where they take a half day or full day three times a year to plan their personal life, but they're doing it. Like, they're going through their closet three times a year. They are reviewing their morning, afternoon, evening routines. They may be doing it through podcasts, listening to a podcast. They reevaluate what they have. Then they move on. They're just naturally doing it. This does become natural over time. I'm telling you all of the steps because I have analyzed how I've done this to the point that I can teach it so that you then can do it as second nature as you continue to review and plan your life going forward. Okay, so that is planning, the executive function of planning. The executive function of planning allows you to use your time one day every 120 days to exponentially create ultimate impact in the next 4 months. Dale Carnegie said, for every hour spent planning, you get 10 in execution. So if you spend 4 hours in planning day, you can expect to receive 40 extra hours in the next 4 months. That's one full working week. And I guarantee you, anybody who's been to the Organized 365 planning day definitely has gotten an extra 40 hours worth of time in the next 4 months. It's 10 hours per month, or 2.5 hours per week is what you get from planning out your next 120 days. And if you want to try this out for free, then just join the next Blitz after you hear this podcast. If you're listening to it in real time, that's going to be the Out with the Old Blitz. Now, the Out with the Old Blitz is going to teach you how to declutter so that you have less stuff when you go into an organized January. If you're listening before the Spring Break Blitz or the Back to School Blitz or the Holiday Blitz, all of those really teach you how to plan something so you could see the invisible work, so you can make decisions. And then you will just go into the holidays. You'll go into the new fall productivity season. You'll attack your plan with the Spring Break Blitz in a way that you never have before. I can't remember who said it on a Wednesday podcast, but she was cracking me up when she said, oh yeah, my friends are annoying. I need to get new friends. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh my gosh, they're so reactive. I mean, you know, it's August and they didn't do the back to school blitz. And so they're like, I don't have my forms. I haven't done the doctor's appointments. They ran out of uniforms. She's like, why don't you guys have it together? Like, I already did all this in July. I'm like, invite them to the blitz. Keep your friends, make them proactive. Don't go get new friends. Like, you need to, it is like, once you start to proactively plan, you see everyone struggling around you. Like, you don't realize how much you are struggling when you are going with the flow. You go with the flow and you're just going to take life as it comes. Like, it sounds like a great idea. But then once you get organized and you go through a season organized that you've proactively planned for, and you watch everyone else going with the flow, they're actually in a riptide and you've got to save them because it is not fun to go with the flow. You feel like you're always being thrown here, there, do this. Oh, you're juggling 18 balls. Here's a bowling ball lobbed at you. Like, it's not fun. You don't get to enjoy whatever it is you're doing because you're constantly waiting for the next wave to hit you. Proactively planning, while it may seem too straight-laced and too, like, where's the fun and the spontaneity in that? It's so freeing. It's so freeing. So I invite you to join us in the next Blitz, which would be the Out with the Old Blitz if you're listening to this in real time. Next week, we're going to wrap up this executive function series, and we're going to dovetail two of these together, which is the task of initiating and the task of task monitoring.